Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet. Welcome to another Tadpog podcast. Tadpog podcast. It's a show where two guys talk about old games.
Is this the episode where we enunciate everything?
this is the episode where we talk like gods. I'm your bearded host, Tyler. Well, I guess first, we'll be really super transparent. You want to be super transparent?
Absolutely.
That this episode, we planned to continue our Ready Player One series. Mm-hmm. We took a break from it last week for calls. We're going to resume it again this week, but...
Probably.
Sometimes life just bites you in the ass.
Yeah, life bit me in the fucking ass this weekend, to the point where I'm pretty much stressing out about Wednesday's episode, Secret of Mana, which I played in middle school, but should probably pick up again before we record in two fucking days. I'm pretty sure I can finish it between now and then. I've had a lot of work to do. I kind of got a work shit bomb dropped on me, which has really, really sucked because we were talking about playing Adventure for the Atari, which I really want to do, but I haven't had any time to play any games. So instead, Tyler had the suggestion to do what we're about to do, which is, for a long time, we haven't talked about what we've been playing.
Bring out a dusty old bit.
a long, long time we haven't talked about what we've been playing. Mm-hmm. So we've both actually been playing shit. So I think let's cop out and do a show on that. Mm-hmm. If you're listening and you love it, you can thank me. If you're listening and you hate it, it's totally my fault. In fact, cut me some slack on Wednesday too. And I'm like, yeah, Secret of Mana. Man, I remember a lot about that game. Tyler, what do you think?
Man, Square, right?
Oh, wow.
Square.
So big in the 90s. Jeez. What do you think about monsters? There's some monsters in this game.
glad you killed them.
Let's do the most generic. Just the most generic podcast.
Making you believe how you had hero had to beat bad guy. What was it? Marvel actually released. They wanted to copyright superhero and supervillain.
So I heard about that.
Super generic comic about just superhero who beats supervillain.
Oh no, I didn't know that they released something.
Yeah, they have one issue of this horribly bland super generic comic just to trademark words.
Yeah, let's do that. I think we should do that for Wednesday. That's pretty much what I'm going to be doing on Wednesday anyway. Secret of Mana.
Well, let's see. I'm your beard host, Tyler, and this is a story I had forgotten about until it was dredged up the other day, and I was like, I should tell this. And it's one I'm not the star of this story. When I was thinking about how to tell it, picture The Great Gatsby.
Okay, done.
I am.
Wait, the book or the movie?
The movie right now. I read the book in high school, but I don't remember that much about it. I don't remember any character names. I just remember the actors who were in the movie.
Right. So okay. That's did you cast it when you read it in high school?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But let's see. Take us to The Great Gatsby. I am Topher Grace's character.
Okay.
So I'm the narrator of this story.
Right.
I'm the reason why these two characters came together, and they both would talk to me about each other, and I set things up. But really, it's about these two other people.
Okay.
I'm just the element, the binding element of the story.
This is your Back to the Future, right? This is when you went back and got your mom and dad together.
Well, it's a story about Brendan of Axley.
Oh, boy. Who may or may not still listen. I know he was on a streak for a while. He was listening. And then all of a sudden, he just stopped talking to me. So I was like, oh, okay. Apparently, he's stopped listening to the show.
We've either made him mad or he found another music group he likes. But Brandon, he generally, I think a lot of people associate Brandon as one of my more attractive friends, or at least that's how Jacob frames him, because Jacob thinks he's really pretty. but
he's a good looking guy.
He's a good looking guy. And we were friends, and a lot of girls would like approach me because they wouldn't be hooked up with Brandon.
See, that's a, I mean, there you go, right there. That's just proof he's a good looking guy. Mm-hmm. If he had a video game streaming like show, oh God, he'd have so many followers.
But he, well, let's see, because I was friends, Brandon and I have been friends since late elementary school. And there were throughout middle school and high school, like my group of friends, of course, like Josh Nance of Uniracers fame, my whole life, Ashley Shake of Fist Puncher fame. And then I'd mentioned like these three girls that I was friends with in middle school and high school, and they were all related, and they were collectively known as like their last name.
Wait, what? What was it? Oh, you can't. I don't want to give it away. We'll make one up. The Gatsbys.
The Gatsbys. So they were just collectively known as the Gatsbys.
Okay.
And each one was like, there was like the pretty one, the smart one, and the slutty one.
They're like the Magus sisters.
There you go. Mindy, Sandy, and... I forget the other one, but
Sarah Lee makes the best cakes.
they were like the three of them, and Brandon had shown a little bit interest in the quote unquote pretty one. Mm. They were all attractive, but
right.
one of them, the one that's quote unquote the pretty one,
yeah.
It was strange because she had kind of she could be really pretty, but she had like a gauge that would deplete.
She had like a club foot. That was like growing out of her forehead, but I don't know.
Let's drag it back into video games for a second.
She was unconventionally attractive.
let's say Terra's Esper form in Final Fantasy VI.
Yeah.
Like she could take on like Terra's Esper form and be extremely attractive.
So that's
But that bar would run out pretty quickly. Like okay. It was strange because like during a week of school,
yeah.
Like it was like every other day she would go between very attractive and then, who are you? Like, really, like, I remember one day, this is a weird example, like, she came to school, hair, like, all done, makeup done, like, this beautiful, like, tight-fitting red dress. It's like, are you in high school? Like, I remember very vividly, she looked super attractive. Mm. The next day, hair was, like, super greasy, Tweety Bird shirt, like, Spanx for shorts, and, like, these old tennis shoes and no socks. And she would just, like, rotate out. It's like she spent all of her Esper bar on one that one day. It was depleted for the next day.
This is just a girl who has no time management skills.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, I think that explains it.
Yeah. And like Brandon had saw her on one of her Esper days.
Yeah.
So then he was like, are you friends with this girl? I was like, yeah. He was like, all right. So he kind of kept her in mind. And then she had one time had invited me to go on like some church outing.
Mm-hmm.
And I brought Brandon with me. And she was having an Esper day that day. So
this is like a Seinfeld episode.
So they hit it off like really well. And like, uh-huh. I fixed them up. We were on the back of the church van and they're like making out in the back and the youth leader's yelling at them, you know, it's a whole thing.
Yelling things like deeper. Driving over bumps.
So they
there's 10 kids in the car, just silent and wide-eyed. There's two teenagers just fucking, the guy is in the front just looking in the rear view.
And Brandon just eye contact with the rear view mirror, nodding. But like they, so after that, they tentatively sort of start going out.
Yeah.
But they still like, they're not communicating that much with each other. They're going through me.
Right. It is the high school after all.
So, like, I'm constantly getting calls from, like, both of them about things like that. And he happens, like, for a decent, like, stretch of days, like, he happens to only see her on Esper days and misses mundane form days.
Okay.
And I remember at one point I had to interject this one strange point.
Please. The stranger the better.
Like, these three girls were very, I was very, very close to them and I was protective of them. I was fine if I was going to hook them up with someone that, like, I knew really well.
Yeah.
But whenever they would date jerks, then they'd be like, I get concerned. And then, you know, things, you know, I was protective of them. So at one point, like, whenever, like, things, like, when we started, like, getting older and started, like, messing around and things like that, then uh-huh. I was even more protective of them.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know why she went this route, and I'll never forget these words. But, like, Brandon goes over to her house. And they're like fooling around, and he pulls it out at one point.
The Esper one. He goes over to the Esper.
He goes over to the Esper. Okay. Yeah, on a good
this
day.
This is still a tangent, right?
This is a tangent.
And so he pulls his dick out.
They're fooling around, and he pulls it out.
Yeah.
And she's like, she's never done anything to one before or anything at all. And so, cut to that moment, screen goes black. Next day, I'm at my locker and she comes up to me and she's like, Tyler, last night, Brandon pulled his dick out.
I was like, you immediately got hard.
I was like, yeah, and? She's like, I thought about going down on him, but then I saw your face and didn't do it.
Like on his dick?
I was like, wait a minute.
It's like Alien when it opens its mouth and the smaller mouth comes out.
That's a weird Earthbound ending shit. But like, that's what I mean, I get what she was trying to say, like,
she was trying
thinking
to say
of me was like her moral conscience, like maybe I shouldn't do this. But in fact, it's sort of like, so a guy takes out his dick and you're thinking like, oh, hey, Tyler, I don't want to touch this dick.
Oh, okay. I didn't know how that was going to end. I didn't know if it was like, I saw your face and then I just sucked on that. Like, I just gnawed on it.
No. That's never going to be the case.
I saw your face and my vagina just zipped up.
But then... Then, you know, that didn't happen. I was, thanks, I guess.
Just appreciate it.
Don't tell Brandon that or he's going to yell at me.
I've got to go have the saddest masturbation I've ever had.
But then I remember, like, a few days after that, Brandon, that's when luck runs out and Brandon catches her on a mundane day.
Luck for her. Yeah. Brandon's luck never runs out.
That's true.
Never.
But we're, like, on, like, the commons area in the high school. We're off to one side all talking. And I see her coming, and she's literally like, her face is like shiny from like the green.
Like a ham?
Yeah, like a ham. And her hair is like so dirty, like the bangs are stuck to her forehead. Like, you would not think this is the same girl. And she's wearing that 3XL Tweety Bird shirt.
Love it.
And it's tied.
God, that's hot.
It's kind of tied in one corner, like she's got the DJ Tanner going on. Yeah. Where she has like, she's knotted it up so it fits a little bit.
Or the DJ Connor when he's feeling confused.
I almost said Connor.
I know. It's hard. It's hard. Why did they do that?
So I see her coming and she's wearing like dirty like basketball shorts and like old tennis shoes. And
yeah.
Like, oh, this is Brandon's not seen her like this. He's not aware. This is not going to go well. And he doesn't see her when she comes up, but I see her.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes up and she loops her arm through Brandon's arm.
Yeah.
And is like, hey, do you want to come home with me today after school? And when he turns and looks at her, like, I vividly remember his face because, like, his eyes widen and you see, like, his lip curl up before he kind of before he goes back to blank face. Slowly extracts his arm and he's like, I got a lot of stuff to do today. And walks off.
It's like he saw the Ark of the Covenant.
And then later that day, he calls her and breaks up with her.
Oh.
And then I spent the next like 5 or 6 days just fielding, just sobbing calls from her. Yeah. Like 3 times a day.
Yeah, well, I mean, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Sometimes you have good looking days, sometimes you don't. I can't even tell the difference. Honestly,
I was talking to somebody who, because I told this really the other day, because I was talking to another friend that remembers her.
You have other friends, Tyler?
I know, it's weird.
Come on, man. You're breaking my heart over here.
And this other girl was like, oh, yeah, I remember her. Man, I remember like sometimes her hair would just like smell. And I was like, it's just, I'll never forget. Like, I can't believe it was the same girl. Just to go from like, an 8 to a 4 just on like a daily basis.
It's just classic time management. That's all it is. I get it. It's like some days you just don't have time to brush that old hair out. Some days you don't. It's like, take it from me, man. Like I probably hadn't washed my hair in like 2 months until like the other day.
That's fine.
Until like it's getting so long now that like it just happened to like fall in front of my nose. And I was like, oh boy. Someone should have told me about this a long time ago.
You just let it get greasy and long enough. That way when you slick it back, you just go full Phoenix Wright. And it's going to be amazing.
I got to tell you, man, like my hair is so, like it gets so dry, right? That like if I wash it regularly, it just fucking, it's like a fro. And it's like in order for it to look like normal human hair, like I have to go a long time without washing it. Because when I go a long time, like for once, it's like I look in the mirror. I'm like, hey, look at that. That looks like human hair instead of, I don't know, something out of the Gremlins.
Like because the female gremlin didn't have that one lock of hair on her forehead.
So it's like I just like I have to like when it gets long, I have to like wash it like just once a month. It's like that's it. If I wash it more than once a month, it's just forget about it. Might as well just shave it all off again. What's up, internet? I'm Dave. I'm your bespectacled host, and man, I got a lot of shit to say about hair, apparently. Tyler, I've been working a lot.
Yeah, I know.
I've been working a lot this weekend.
I haven't seen you at all.
And what that usually means is, like, I binge on podcasts and, like, I play television shows in the background, right?
My favorite.
Yeah, I know. It's a habit I picked up from you, I think. Well, and, like, Netflix and Hulu Plus and anyone else who wants to give us money, I'll plug you too. But, man, it's just like easy injection, right? I mean, you can just sit down, like I can just consume whatever I want, whenever I want. And like so this weekend, my big thing has been American Horror Story. Mm. I hadn't really ever watched a whole lot of it. I watched maybe a couple episodes months ago. And so I was like, you know, I can probably play this in the background while I work. So that's pretty much all I've been watching this weekend. And I don't understand. Like, everyone had always told me how good the show was. Like, oh, it's so good. It's so good. It's so good. And I agree. But what they didn't tell me was this is essentially a porno script that got rejected and then they like adapted it for cable television. Cause this is all like all this show is like just hot ghosts fucking other hot ghosts and like other hot live people. Like that's all, like I was watching it and I had this realization, like, and it's fucked up because it's like I got like a crazy amount in before I realized this. It was like 10 episodes and like what it took was like a girl on girl ghost lesbian scene for me to be like, holy shit, this is like the crappiest porno ever.
I thought you'd say, this is a really good show.
No, exactly. Because I was like, holy crap, I can't believe they're doing this. And then I was like, wait a minute, this is pretty much a pornography script that's just interjected with like
horror scenes. And this is why Pornhub and have like so many red thumbs down.
Downvoted. So I don't know, man. I still think it's great. I'm going to definitely finish it. But it was just one of those realizations where it's like, man, this was definitely pornography before it was adapted for cable television.
Everybody at work is talking about the latest season.
Oh, that's what I was going to ask too, because like I'm watching the first season and like Netflix has it dated like 2011 or something like that. And then they have season two on there and then that's it. So like what's the new season?
They're on the fourth season, I believe.
Oh, okay. So Netflix is just missing.
Because it's, the house, the asylum, then witches, and then
fucking witches,
whatever they're on now. God, the circus that they're on
now. A lot of sex in the witches one.
Oh, well, Dave, what you been playing?
How you want to do that? You want to like switch off, or you want me to just shotgun all the games?
No, I'm versatile. We can switch off.
I guess I'll start with like the biggest one that I've been playing, or the most recent one, Super Smash Brothers 3DS.
Mm.
I don't know. Have you heard of that franchise before?
A little bit.
Yeah, that's kind of a big deal, I guess.
The game I bought that's still sitting there, unopened on my shelf.
Yeah, I'm ready for you to play, man. I want to get your feedback on it because mine is, I think it's pretty good. It surprised me. I picked it up because I am not positive that I'm going to get a Wii U. Like, I just don't know if it's ever going to happen.
I have one and Josh has one. So you don't really have to go buy one.
Well, and it's like a lot of Wii U games, I feel like the good ones are all, of course, the first party games. Mm-hmm. Like, I would probably never buy a second or third party Wii U game.
Yeah.
And then like you and Josh, like you said, have Wii U's and it's like, you've got all the ones that have cool multiplayer. So yeah, I kind of feel like maybe I don't need to get one.
You don't have to. You've played Earthbound now, so you don't really have to.
I played the best game on the Wii U. You're right. So I picked it up because it's like, I don't know if I'm ever going to play it on the Wii U. And I like it a lot. I think it's actually really good. A lot of people complain that it's difficult to play because it's so small.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's because I've got a 3DS XL. I'm bragging a little bit. It's pretty. I got a pretty big.
If I were 3DS. To put my 3DS in a condom, it'd be a Magnum condom.
It would definitely be. By the way, like Magnum condoms are really just the same Fake. Size, right?
Yeah, they're
just the same size as condoms.
I'd read that on Reddit, and I was like, oh man, it's gonna make Josh upset. Because I think I've said it before. Like Josh loves dropping in a casual conversation that he uses Magnum condoms.
And that, for some reason, that reminds me of when I was in high school and they did the like sex ed stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I remember distinctly the teacher saying to the girls, if you're ever about to have sex with a guy and he's got the condom wrapped around his balls,
Don't this, do that's it. Where the sperm is. Yeah. That's the one I gotta protect.
I was like 15 years old, and I'm looking around the room like, please tell me no one here is that fucking dumb. To be like, it's fine, baby. I'm wearing a condom.
You know, it kind of looks like a tiny rubber hammock that just fastens onto both sides of your balls.
Yeah, it's a ball hairnet, essentially. But yeah, on the 3DS, I don't think it's too small. I don't have a problem like losing any of the characters or anything like that. The roster is pretty cool. It's pretty big, especially. I was surprised that the roster was as big as it is for the 3DS. You got to unlock characters and stages like you do in pretty much every iteration of Smash Brothers. My big complaint is the multiplayer. And they do have online multiplayer, but it's like peer-to-peer. Like, all of it's peer-to-peer. So it's if you're playing in a game with three other people and, like, one of them has a bad internet connection, it is like you're playing the game. It's like the game is taking place underwater or under molasses because it is just
like that great Boston flood yeah. I brought up years ago. Yeah,
I was hoping you were going to say the great Boston molasses massacre. And it's like it is at that point unplayable. And there's like no way to vote kick somebody. So it's like
bad. Ugh.
And what's great is what I do like about it.
And you can't pull out your Ethernet cord like I did for every bad party I got into an MMO.
Well, and you get, from what I understand, I've never left a battle in the middle, but like you get put on a bad list. Like if you do it a whole bunch of times, like if you just disconnect from a battle in the middle of it. You do that so many times, and I think it starts matchmaking you with other people who do that. So it's pretty much
that's funny.
Yeah, you're pretty much guaranteed to have a bad time if you start doing it. But it just gets kind of crappy because if I've been in scenarios, right, where I'm on a really good run, I'm playing with three other people, and the connection's great, and everything's speedy, at normal speed, and then all of a sudden one of them will drop out. And someone else will join the game, and then now all of a sudden it's just like crawling. And it's like everyone playing like knows that it's that new person, but like there's nothing we can do. We can't like vote to kick that person. All we really can do is what happens is like this person shows up and then like the group just disintegrates because it's like that person shows up, the end of that match, like people just start dropping.
Yeah.
And it's like they just start looking for other games to play. So
In a competitive game, that's a pretty big flaw.
Yeah, because this is one of the things where it's like, I mean, to play it online, that's a big deal. Because I think you could do that in the Wii version, right? But it was like really, really bad.
I never tried it.
I heard it was really bad for the Wii.
I bettered it. I can only imagine it was.
And it's like Nintendo's like online play has never been like known to be super great.
They don't want to do it. They've never wanted to do it. They have fought that tooth and nail.
And I guess it's just because of child predators. Like, I guess that's why. But I think like, I think that's what they always say, but I think they're just like, we know nothing about netcode. Like, we just know nothing about it.
Because that's why I always, like, I'm baffled a little bit by Nintendo, by, like, they're innovative, yet, I don't know, like...
They're so conservative.
Yet hold on to... Yeah. Like, they innovate in their gameplay and their characters, but, like, holding on to cartridges when they didn't need to for another generation, yeah. And then just the mini disc for the GameCube and
well, like, and it's like all their like the peripherals, right? I mean, like the Wii was a pretty big deal when it came out for what it could do, but then it's like, I don't know, let's just do nothing with it. Let's literally do nothing with it. Yep. You got Wii Sports, fuckers. What else do you want?
Yep.
So I don't know. Smash Brothers, I'm still playing it when I have time. But it's not one of those things where I'd be like, definitely get a 3DS to play it. Mm-hmm. The controls are what they are. It's not super great because it's not like a GameCube controller. Like, that is like the default Smash Brothers controller.
That's what I love about Wii U, that they're bringing a adapter to use a GameCube controller on it.
And
re-releasing like new GameCube controllers for Smash Brothers.
I love that.
That's very cool.
That should be like Nintendo's default controller. Like, I think that's the best controller they've ever made. Like, you know, instead of having the retro controller that plugged into the Wiimote, like it should have just been a fucking GameCube controller. Mm-hmm. They should have like taken the Sony route where like PlayStation is like, this is our controller. We're just going to like perfect it over time. As opposed to like Nintendo, who's like, we're just going to do a brand new fucking controller every single time. Even though everyone really loves this one that we did years ago.
Yeah. I like the Pro controller. that the Wii U has.
I haven't used that one.
Because it is sort of, it's sort of like a blend of Sony and Microsoft.
It's Does like it have like analog sticks and stuff?
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's cool.
So it feels good. It's got like the size and the comfortable heft of like a 360 controller, but it's still like sleek and comfortable like a PlayStation remote controller. So I like it, but yeah, there's something that you said about the GameCube controller.
I love it.
Because the N64 controller was, I don't understand the logic behind it.
No, it's like the worst
I look at it, it's just like, but you, the joystick's in the middle, so you're having to scrunch. There's like that one side of the controller you're never going to touch.
Yeah.
So you're having to, I don't get it.
The part that you're never going to touch should either like be eliminated from the controller or like that should be put in the really weird space as opposed to like what you're going to use always.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That controller is a disaster.
Yep. Do not like it at all. Because if Earl, I fought like joysticks on controllers for a long time.
You didn't like them?
I wanted D-pad. I didn't like joysticks. Not until I started playing first-person shooters on the PlayStation 3 did I like embrace joysticks. I can't
imagine playing a first-person shooter with a D-pad.
Yeah. So, and even similar to a first-person shooter, I still prefer keyboard and mouse, but...
Yeah, oh, definitely. John Turley. You just made John Turley of NBA James fame, like, super happy. No, I agree. Like,
you like that, John? Got that mouse? Just spin that shit around?
First-person shooters, I agree. I think it's mouse and keyboard or GTFO.
Because my exposure to Fallout, you know, the first time I played that was on on PS3. So then I played Fallout and Fallout New Vegas on the PS3, and then on a random Steam sale, I picked up New Vegas Ultimate Edition because I wanted to get all the DLCs. Because the DLC release for Fallout 3, amazing. DLC release for New Vegas, fucking pissed me off to no end.
I haven't played the DLC I've played a few of the DLCs for both, but not all of them.
Because the DLC, I mean, they're good content, but it's not, okay, so Fallout has, first DLC is Broken Steel, allows you to continue after the end.
That's the one that takes place in like Alaska or something, right?
That's, it's like two after that.
That's the Alaskan crab.
Broken Steel. Broken Steel is the one where the giant robot comes back again and raises your level cap and you can continue on after the end.
Okay.
So then even if you've saved after, because I mean, I made the mistake.
Spoilers.
Like you save after the end, you can't go back. Like you're just like, got to start a new character until Broken Steel comes out. Then you can continue on and then buy all the DLCs. In New Vegas, I just wasn't thinking save my game. And then a DLC comes out. It's like, oh, I can't play it. I remember I bought the first DLC and I was like, okay, good. Maybe I can. No, I've started a completely new character in order to play this. So I put it down and didn't touch it again. And
it was designed that way or like, why couldn't you?
It's just once you.
You have to do it.
You can save past the point of no return.
Oh, okay.
And then you can't leave that area again. And then you can't start over after you beat the game.
Gotcha.
So it's like you have to start a new character to play the DLC. And the DLC is like at the end of the game, so you have to play through the majority of the game to get to the DLC again if you made that mistake, which I did. And then, so once it was super cheap on Steam, I bought it and made a new character because it become long enough that it was fresh for me again. And then I played through with the keyboard and mouse, had a much better experience. Been able to, like, I love Bethesda games, but they're so fucking buggy. And then having console commands, like, okay, this door should be here, but for some reason it's not. Okay, console command, and you could just pop it in there and fix the glitch as opposed to waiting 6 months for them to make a patch on PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
So that and the keyboard and mouse and the ability, because I can make the graphics a lot better on my computer. Mm-hmm. There's not, like, Bethesda games should absolutely be played on PC.
Smart move with like the VAT system though. Because like that, I also played them on consoles because like I remember when Fallout 3 came out, I had a pretty shitty computer.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like, so I played Fallout 3 on the Xbox 360, and I remember thinking as I was playing it, man, I wish I had a computer because I think this would be more fun on the PC.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, the saving grace of that was the VAT system where you can kind of, like, go into automated targeting. I think, like, that would have been – if that game didn't have VATs, I would have had a miserable experience trying to kill things.
I played through the first half of Fallout 3 and never used VATs because I didn't know – I just didn't
know
get
it was there?
Yeah, like – I'd gotten the brief tutorial and I wasn't really paying attention because I was still like, so like I just didn't use it until way later in the game.
I think it's more fun to play it without it, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like I do, unless, I mean, if you're playing it on the PC, I think it's more fun to, because like, man, I've never, to this day, I'm just not good playing a first-person shooter with analog sticks.
Mm-hmm.
It's just really hard for me to do. I guess just because I grew up with doing it with a mouse and keyboard. I don't know.
So, but the DLC, like there's one DLC Fallout New Vegas, I very much want you to play.
Yeah.
Like, I will play it on my PC to the point, like, you're at the DLC, and then just let you borrow my computer for a few days.
Okay.
Because, like, I think you would absolutely love the old world blues.
Okay, yeah.
DLC.
I mean, I think I own both those games on Steam. Probably, maybe. It's really pretty sad that I don't know what games I own on Steam, because it's just a whole bunch of games that I'll never have time to play.
Mm-hmm.
But I want to play those games again, and when I do, I want to play them on the PC, so... Just wait. I know we like that's on our list of other Ship Mondays is Fallout 3 and Fallout New Vegas, mm-hmm. and we'll get to that eventually. Mm-hmm. But like, well, that's going to mean I need to play through those games again.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a long ass time.
I need to play through 3 again. I've played through New Vegas recently enough that that's fresh, but it's been a long time since I played through 3.
Yeah.
My turn.
Yeah. Go. Go for it.
I've been on a bender of because I got a PlayStation Vita.
Right.
So that's unless I'm playing a Tadpog game. I've stopped the Great Steam Challenge because I've just been really enjoying my Vita.
You hate Batman so much. You just can't get past it. I think that's been a long time. That's been a long time ago. Like,
yeah, I'm at the end of the bees now.
Cool.
But yeah, like Batman did put a big kink into that.
Yeah,
that
I know. Trust me, I know.
But on the Vita, because I kind of wanted one anyway, because then I heard about a few exclusive games.
Yeah.
So then finally, for my birthday, I got one. And the first game I played, because of course I love 999 and Virtue's Last Reward.
Yeah, I remember you talking a lot about those games.
Made by Spike Chunsoft. And then I heard they had made this new series, Danganronpa. And then I watched the trailer and read the reviews, and it is like 999 mixed with Phoenix Wright. So I was like, this has to be like the most perfect game for me. And damn it if it isn't. Because Danganronpa... The first one is, because it's super Japanese. It is extraordinarily Japanese.
I couldn't tell from the title. It's like, what's that translate to? Is that even Japanese or just a nonsense?
Well, see, I think everyone just ended up calling it Danganronpa, but on the cover of the game, it says Trigger Happy Havoc, and then small text, Danganronpa.
Oh, okay. So like, people don't want to think that they're like a psychopathic killer or anything, so they just say Danganronpa.
Danganronpa, no one knows what that means. So it takes place in Japan, and they're supposedly, because Japanese culture is one that like schooling is very, very important, and you're not popular unless like you have an excellent grade point average.
Well, yeah, schooling is like free childcare. So.
Yeah. And because in every anime you've seen, every well-respected character does very well in school.
Oh yeah.
There's no like main character that is just stupid and does poor in school. They're all the top of their class and everyone admires them.
Well, I mean there are characters like that, but they're not looked upon very, very well.
Yeah, not at all. That's just how it is. And so this game is there's a high school called Hope's Academy.
Okay.
And Hope's Academy is like if you go here, you are guaranteed to have the brightest future possible. You are going to be exceptionally successful because we are the best of the best. We produce the best of the best.
It's a pretty good deal.
And you can't. They have to go out and scout you and invite you to come to this high school.
Not a lot of podcasters go to that school.
Nope. One podcaster could go to that school because basically across a wide berth of talents, they pick the ultimate. So quote unquote. Whatever the ultimate in anything is, then you can be invited to go to the school.
Okay.
So whoever is the best at podcasting, uh-huh. whoever is the ultimate podcaster, could then be scouted and chose and could go to the school.
Okay. So essentially, you and I would have to battle. Because like it's clearly you or me. It's not Kevin Smith.
It's not the McElroy brothers. It's not Mark Maron. It's between me and you.
Just you or me, and like just an entire Japanese cast.
But like you're playing the role of a character who Hope's Academy decided to have a raffle to find the ultimate lucky student, draw a name out of all the kids in Japan.
It's like the Hunger Games.
Yeah, basically. Okay. Yeah. And then so you're playing that character who's chosen. You're the ultimate lucky student. And then you can look through the roster of everyone else is going to be there. Like your class is a class of 16 people.
Okay.
You're the ultimate lucky. And then so there's also the ultimate baseball star.
Okay.
The ultimate pop star.
Okay.
The ultimate gambler.
Interesting.
The ultimate fan fiction artist.
Who is on this board? Like, who is like on the committee to be like, I don't know, what should we have the best of? I don't know, who's got the biggest dick out there?
let's make that a thing. Dick star. There's the ultimate question mark, question mark, question mark. No one knows her talent. Let's see.
I bet you get to the bottom of that one.
You do. The ultimate affluent prodigy, which I think he's actually my favorite character in the game.
Yeah. This game is the game as silly as it sounds? Because it sounds pretty silly.
it's strange in that, like, there's a very silly, like, I mean, it's a strange mix of silly and serious.
Okay.
Because, and I'm trying to think of all the other, the ultimate martial artist.
Okay.
The ultimate swimmer.
Okay. Well, that's Golden Boy.
The ultimate soldier. The ultimate model.
Well, that ultimate soldier, that's Steve Rogers.
the ultimate pop star. They're all, if one comes to me, I'll say it again.
That's Praline a la mode.
Nice. Nice, Bravely Default.
Yeah, deep cut.
I gotta mark that down for the show notes.
Just show nuts. You're welcome, Paul Kluwel.
Yeah, he loves that. Yeah.
I love it. Let's, Paul, you know, he loves it. Let's bring it back.
And so whenever you go to the school, like, no one's there, and, like, you take a spot in the classroom and you suddenly get really sleepy and your character falls asleep. And when you wake up, you're in a room full with all these other students, and there's a huge, where the door was, and there's a large security door with, like, Gatling guns, like, mounted to the ceiling, and everyone's very confused. They don't know why they're here. I thought this was the first day of school. And then suddenly a bear comes out. The music gets really silly, and it's a bear who is half black and half white, divided down the middle.
Okay.
Half is a nice face, and half is like a demonic face.
Okay.
And the bear is...
So like the Harvey Dent of bears.
Yeah, you're right. And like the music is kind of silly, and like he strikes a pose, and there are flowers everywhere, and he explains to you what you're really here for.
Oh God, please tell me he's your teacher.
He's the headmaster of the school.
All right, when I asked you earlier if this game was silly, you said it was a mix. What you meant to say is, like, this game is definitely silly.
Well, because it's silly because he comes down and he's just a tiny bear.
You don't have to explain why it's silly. You just already did.
And then the bear named Monokuma tells you, like, well, here's the deal is...
Monokuma?
Monokuma.
Monokuma. So is that like Monica from Friends mixed with Akuma?
Yep.
From Street Fighter. If they made it.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, we need some fan art, I think.
And he tells you that you're trapped in here forever. Like all the windows have like steel plates over them. Parts of the school are locked off. You cannot see the outside at all. There's no way to communicate with the outside world. He's like, you live here now. Congratulations.
So you were definitely, that's when you find out you were definitely not the luckiest person.
Yeah. Yep. But he's like provided, like, the kitchen is fully stocked. Everything is like, he keeps everything clean for you. Like, this is a perfect, like, little biome for you to live in.
Like Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. And he's like, yeah, so you're fine. If you guys choose to just like live here, live your lives, you can have children together, whatever you want to do. This is where you live now. But if you want to get out, you have to kill each other.
Okay.
So then he's like, basically, if you decide to kill somebody, if you kill them and disguise it in such a way that no one else can find out it's you, someone dies, then we will have a clash trial where everybody tries to provide evidence and prove who the killer was. So if you get away with it, you, the killer, goes free, and I kill everyone else.
Oh, my God.
All right. But if they find out it was you, then I kill you, the murderer. And they just get to keep playing until
there's one person.
Until one person gets out. So, like, you can play my game or you can live here forever.
I think that I'd probably live there forever.
They all say that.
What do you sound like? You're very accusatory.
they're all like, we just won't kill anybody. That's fine. So then Monokuma starts introducing like motives and starts giving you reasons. One of them I thought was really good. Like, it's like Dave might kill somebody for this.
Great. Well, because, what is it?
Because at one point, like, of course, like, the first
just
one is
unlimited bear blowjobs.
But then, like, you have like a student manual that has rules in it, and there are very arbitrary rules that keep things
like no yellow shirts on Tuesday, kind of thing.
That some of those are really weird, like that. Like, you can't go into the kitchen after 10 o'clock. You can't borrow anybody else's student ID, and like there are lots of little rules like that that keep the thing kind of interesting and make it where the murders have to be sort of convoluted and planned.
What happens if you break a rule?
You're killed.
Okay, great.
So like if you harm the headmaster, you're killed. if you, there are a bunch of rules. Like basically, if you don't follow his rules, then he's just going to kill you.
Okay.
And
the bad half, the evil half.
Yeah. Right. And like the first motive is like, he gives everybody these DVDs and it's like, he's like, there's not a rule saying you can't watch each other's DVDs, but after you watch them, you're probably not going to want anybody else to see them.
Okay. What's on them?
It's like basically your main characters, it's a picture of your family at home and then suddenly they're gone and the house is burned down.
So it's like, is this what's happening while you're here? Or?
Yeah. While you're, God. He shows you what's happening inside. And he's like, and then Monokuma comes to you. He's like, I have fucked with your family. I'm not going to tell you if they're dead or alive. You're going to have to get out if you want to figure out what's happened to your family. So then you assume every other person, he's tortured their families. Mm-hmm. So if they want to save them, they're going to have to kill somebody to get out. And then like, there's another motive is like $10 million is another motive. And the other one being like, he gives everybody manila folders. He's like, just read them. And everybody reads those and they're like, everyone's super shocked. And then like, start looking around each other suspiciously and then just leave. So he's written your darkest secret on this in this manila folder.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to reveal it if you don't play along. So like, it's if you continue to want to live here and mm-hmm. not kill anybody,
right.
Whatever your deepest, darkest secret is, he's going to release to the world. So then everybody's like, okay, no one can find out about this. So then he continually adds motive to keep the game interesting.
So what's the one that you think that I would kill
that
for?
One?
No. I don't have. I mean, like, trust me, man. Like I've led a pretty uneventful life. Pretty uneventful.
What is the if like somebody at work's like, hey, you got a little bit of a mustache, you have to go home and shave. So I was like, maybe if somebody like knew Dave's darkest secrets, like, oh shit.
No, that's not a dark secret. That's just like a lifelong of not liking how I look.
Well, some of it is like stuff that's like super embarrassing. Although your character is like, it's not an embarrassing thing. He's just like, he is ashamed of it, but it's not something that he would ever kill anybody for.
Yeah.
But there are other people you find out that's like, oh, okay. I can see why you would murder somebody.
Oh, I see. You've already murdered like 15 people.
Well, see, that's one of the... Okay, spoilers for like the next 10 seconds.
I haven't even played this, so I'm going to check out. I'm going to mute.
Well, one of the characters, spoilers, is the ultimate serial killer.
It's the fanfic writer.
I'm not going to tell you. The fanfic writer is funny because he's extremely overweight and nerdy and just keeps talking about like he writes hentai and stuff like that.
Definitely the serial killer. Definitely the serial killer. It's whoever is in the game and they're like, this person's always quiet and seems to get along with everybody.
Oh, there's the ultimate, oh, I forgot, the ultimate biker gang leader.
Okay.
The ultimate computer programmer. The ultimate moral compass is one. And... oh, well, that's another three more that I just remembered. But so then it's interesting because once a murder happens, then you go in and you investigate and, you know, you click on clues and try to piece things together. And then you go and talk to the other students and get their testimonies. And then because Monokuma like once three people spot a dead body, then he makes the announcement. And he's like, you have 3 hours to investigate before I call a class trial.
Okay. Is the investigation fun?
Yeah, because you're going through and like trying to see what's different about the room and then investigating it and then you know, putting stuff together.
I think Nikki would like that. But like that's where like Phoenix Wright games like always lose me because I don't like the investigation part of Phoenix Wright games or the one that I've played. I like the courtroom stuff a lot. Like that's my favorite part. But like the investigation always kind of seems like in Phoenix Wright, for example, like they don't let you miss shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, you can't get past the investigation until you find everything.
Yeah, you can't miss stuff in Danganronpa either.
See, I don't like that because I'd rather like be able to miss things at the investigation that later cause me to fuck up.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's just my personal preference.
I get that.
Because I get frustrated. I get frustrated when it's like, okay, I'm done here. And the game's like, no, you're not. No, you're definitely missing
things. You get to talk to this guy three times. Right?
Exactly.
So yeah, it doesn't let you do that, but the investigation is not as long and drawn out as it is in Phoenix Wright. Like you'll spend like hours investigating in Phoenix Wright.
Oh yeah, in so, like one room, like it's just a still screen. Where it's like that's what bugs me about Phoenix Wright because it's like, holy God, I've been staring at this one fucking just still frame for like an hour.
Yeah, no,
clicking on books. And shit.
It's more drawn out in Danganronpa because like you'll see the scene of the murder and then you'll have to wonder about because the criminals will like really plot to try and like throw off the autopsy and throw off the time of death and things like that. So you're going to different rooms trying to find where'd the murder weapon come from? Okay, they could only have access to this room between this hour and this hour. And then you're going and trying to talk to other students, and you'll get truth bullets.
Okay.
Basically, yeah, that's your evidence.
Wait, you find them as like truth bullet casings or something? Or like you use them against somebody?
That's how the class trial operates. Because it's trigger happy havoc. Once you're in the classroom, your objection from Phoenix Wright is instead the form of you firing a truth bullet at somebody.
Wow. What's it fire out of?
It's a gun that you have, like, I mean, your character isn't holding a gun pointing at people, but the menu system is set up where, like, you have a gun full of truth bullets and you're shooting down testimony and shooting down people's contradictions and things.
Does
like
everyone
that.
Have this or just you?
Just you.
Okay. Because you're lucky.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're lucky. And so once the class trial starts, once you've collected all your evidence, and the evidence, you just know, like, all right, scrap of paper with blood on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you just find that, and that becomes a truth bullet. You don't know what purpose it serves. You just know this is a piece of evidence. So once the class trial starts, everyone's in a big circle. And then Monokuma will be like, well, first you should probably establish what the motive is. So then everybody's like, starts throwing out theories about what they think happened. So then it's up to your character to go through with the evidence and try to find which theory probably makes sense.
Okay.
Then focus in on it. Like if you agree or disagree. And if you disagree, then you pull up the evidence and shoot it down. And then somebody else will add in something. And then you answer questions about what you think, where it went. And there are different mini games that accompany. Because there's one, sometimes like it slowly, it adds, each trial adds a few more layers to the class trial.
Like what do you mean? Like there's more investigation or?
The class trial just gets more complicated because at one point it's just you have one thing of evidence, one truth bullet. And then people are telling, you know,
so just, their it gets theories. Longer.
Yeah.
So kind of like a Phoenix Wright game.
Yeah.
Because so, like as those progress, they get longer,
they get a bit longer. But then you'll see like maybe whenever people, because it'll show their picture and while they're talking, their music is very intense.
Uh-huh.
And you have like 30 seconds as each person talks through like 30 seconds of time per argument. And then whatever they say comes up as a dialogue box and swirps around in the air and you have to shoot it down a certain word in it. So, but eventually when people start disagreeing, you'll start getting white noise. So then like when you're trying to shoot down an argument, somebody will interject and their words appear in front of the word. So then you have to like shoot. It's like a mini game to shoot their arguments down to try and get to the truth.
And you are literally like, it's like a targeting reticule and you're actually shooting. Okay.
Yep.
So you can like fuck the game up by like not shooting well.
Yep.
Okay.
But there are, so that's the thing. Like you also get free time. Like not every day is like a murder happens. Whenever a murder's not happening, whenever a murder doesn't happen, I'm glad you said that because you get free time and then you can go and bond with other students.
Okay.
You can go.
Who'd you bond with?
I bonded with the ultimate question mark first.
I figured. That's probably who I you know, you want to get to the bottom of that, right?
Yeah. But then like there are like four or five steps. Usually like you have to spend time with them four or five times. Each one unlocks a little bit more, and some will unlock skills.
So this is
that
like,
then the more you spend time with them,
uh-huh.
you can then acquire their skills, and that helps you in your case. So like
this is like the dating sim part of the game?
Yep.
Okay. But so it actually like helps you.
It helps you. If you spend time with the ultimate baseball star, then the skills you learn from him, you can then equip, and then like your shooting is better.
Gotcha.
And yeah, like, and then there's one like the ultimate ?
Uh-huh.
One of her skills is like,
sucking dick.
You deal more damage to another person's psyche with an attack with a truth bullet attack.
Okay.
Because there are sometimes where like they're just being bullheaded and they'll have like a health bar, and you're having to constantly hit them with evidence until it goes away. So then your attacks are more powerful to try and defeat their argument until you figure out who it is at the end, and you have to choose the right person. And if you're wrong, you die.
Okay.
But it's got a lot of layers to it. I could talk about it for a long time because I really, really enjoyed it.
Is it long? It sounds like a long game.
It took me, I'd bet it's a 20-hour game.
Okay, that's not too bad. Is there replay value?
So for a handheld game, there is replay value because there's not enough, and people get killed. So like you might be spending free time to get to know somebody, and all of a sudden they die.
They're gone. Gotcha.
And then you can't get all their skills. You can't learn everything about them.
Do you lose what you gain from them before they die?
No.
That's good.
So, but then the value after the end, the new game plus essentially is where Monokuma is like, you start over again, everybody comes together, and Monokuma's like, Oh, I fucked up and forgot something.
Monica okay. was like, Chandler, you messed up the house. How you doing?
He does. Monokuma's funny, but then he's like, he's tells like, oh, you know, I didn't think about it. Like, I will kill you if you kill me, but there's some of you that are strong enough that you could just like kill me before I could kill you. So,
wait, what?
Yeah, the New Game Plus is really weird. So he's like, I need to make some backups. So actually, before we get this game underway, I need you guys to build me some backup me's so I can kill you if you kill me. Well, and everybody's like, what is going on? Why are we here? He's like, don't worry about that. So then it becomes basically like the title screen changes. Uh-huh. Everything looks like it becomes a high school simulator to where you're all trapped together and you have to assign people duties and tasks to clean the school and uh-huh. gather parts.
Please.
He'll give you a list of like, these are parts I need to make my next me. So so then it's really weird, but it gives you the option. Like, no, you have nothing but free time.
What kind of parts do you have to get to build a bear, it's half bear?
Garden hoses. Like all sorts of weird shit. But it's basically just an excuse to get you to spend free time with everyone else.
Okay. So please then tell me just, no murders ever happened.
No murders happened in this really? In that version.
just as long as you'll play, you just collect bear parts.
Yeah. And build different Monokumas.
And then like you reach like 200 hours and all of a sudden like 8 bears just come in and eat all the kids.
See, because you do that, but because it's just like whenever you go to spend free time with somebody, it's as if you were in the normal game. So then they still talk as if you're in the normal murder version of the game.
Okay, so anytime you have a social interaction with anybody, they're terrified.
Yeah. Yeah, so like you're cleaning the school and then you talk to somebody and they're back in murder game.
Okay, so New Game Plus tacked on or not tacked on? Because it sounds pretty tacked
here's
on.
Here's what's really weird that I played the second one. Uh-huh. Because once you basically it
the
lets
second,
you.
There's another one?
There is. Danganronpa 2 is what I'm playing
good
right
God.
Now.
Good God, okay.
It came out like, it's been out for like a year or two, and then the sequel like just came out like last month. Okay. So I got all it. Right. I got it on release day. I've been playing it, but
I've heard good things about it. Like you're not the only person to have said that you enjoy playing it.
So basically, this lets you just unlock everyone's profiles, get everyone's skills or different achievements and trophies and shit like that you can get. But what's weird, I've played the second one, and it has to be that this weird game that has to be the canon ending.
Like, what, the New Game Plus weirdness?
In order for Danganronpa 2 to be, the weird side game has to be the canon ending.
Because it's just a whole bunch of bears made out of hoses in the beginning of
you, the second one? At the very end, you make the protagonist in Danganronpa 2. You make Monokuma's opposite.
Okay.
So then she saves everybody.
Phoebe Kuma.
But her name is Usami in the game. You make her... And she rises up and defeats Monokuma and lets everybody go.
Oh, that sounds pretty nice.
And then, but she's in the second one. And she's not in the murder version of the first game. Like, you have to get to this version to find her. So Danganronpa 2 is a continuation of the weird fucked up one.
Of the New Game Plus ending. Okay. That makes sense.
So, like, and a few characters that were in Danganronpa appear in Danganronpa 2.
Okay.
So the only way is that they survived.
Gotcha.
So...
So recommend it? Sounds like it's a recommend.
Highly recommend it.
I don't know if I can hang with it. The art, I'm not going to lie.
The art style is really cool.
Is it like stills or is it like animated or?
Whenever you talk to somebody, then like you'll get a brief animation as you talk to them and they're animated in like the trials.
Is it like Phoenix Wright style animation where it's like 2D and you've got like a few expressions and a few like gestures and stuff?
It's done better. It's drawn a lot better.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like that.
Okay.
So then like when you find people in the high school, like... You'll go over there and you'll touch them and they'll bobble back and forth and then they go back and it's very creatively done.
Yeah. I don't know if I could do it. It sounds really cool. Like honestly, like it sounds really cool, but like.
And the storyline is very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. But finding out more about Monokuma and then once you get to the end to find out why this happened to the high school, why this happened on the outside world.
Yeah.
Because while you've been in here, time continues on in the outside world. So then you find out like some catastrophic shit has happened. So then you had to figure out how you want to deal with it. There are multiple endings.
I like that. I'm a big fan of multiple endings.
There's one person like you make an ally out of one person, but they at one point fuck up during a clash trial, and you can call them out on it. And
your ally? Why would you do that to your ally?
Just because like
you're a dick.
You still don't know if they're your ally. Like they could be plotting. You've been betrayed before.
Okay.
So you don't know if they're really your ally or not. So if you call them on it. Mm-hmm. then that's one ending. And then if you don't let it go, no one else catches it. You're the only one that catches this mistake. So then that's a different ending.
Gotcha. I don't know, man. So, sounds like a great game for you.
See, it's hard to talk about because there's some weird shit. But and then Danganronpa 2 is sort of, it's the same sort of formula, but instead of being trapped in a high school, you're on a deserted island.
Okay.
And then so
it's like Lost.
Yeah. Because you don't know why you're there. Uh-huh. The island
there's
seems
a smoke
to have
monster.
Like,
there's others.
There are like some huge monsters. Like, it's definitely darker because like there's some stuff in Danganronpa 1. Like, clearly this person was evil and murdered somebody, and that's just it. Uh-huh. But in Danganronpa 2, it's like you understand it fleshes out why someone would murder someone or what their reasoning was, and it makes you feel compassion for them, and then it makes you sort of like hurt for them. It's a lot darker. Although I have to say, at each class trial in Danganronpa, it's fucked up and dark in that once you find the person who committed the murder is called the Blackened. Once you find out who the Blackened is, then Monokuma is like, I've researched every one of you. I know everything about you. So if you are convicted as the Blackened, I have a perfect execution for every one of you.
So this bear is a sociopath.
Yes. So like once you like find somebody and then you get to watch their hand-tailored execution and every one of them are just fucked up.
This is the second one?
This is the first one. They're not as good in the second one. That's the only thing. I think the second one is better except for these executions.
Except for watching the kid. Like the kid murders are a lot worse.
Yeah, the kid they tone down the kid murders. Because they were amped up to 11 in the first one.
I've heard really good things about this game, but it does sound like one of the kinds of games that like I would never ever like play around another human being. And it would be like, "What are you doing? Oh God, why is that kid being torn apart?"
But it's really good. It did make me kind of have a, because there's one, the ultimate gambler is a part of. I know this was a thing. Have you heard about Gothic Lolitas?
No, I guess not. I mean, I can kind of put it together, what that might be.
Yeah. I mean, she's of age, so it's not, but she dresses like a vampire, like Lolita type.
Uh-huh.
And it's just like, I'd never heard of that before. And I was like, huh, okay.
Well, a lot of that is like, it's funny because you said she's of age, but it's like, that's one thing really kind of bothers me in anime and games where it's like, here's someone that appears to be 9 years old. However, we've put a really like arbitrary number with her. We've assigned her an age of 18. And it's just kind of like, I see what you did there. I don't agree with it because that's fucking gross.
No one in the first one looks like a kid.
Uh-huh.
They all look like adults.
Yeah.
And the second one, there's one character who does look like a kid. And they even explain it. They're like, she's the ultimate traditional dancer. And she looks like she's like 12.
Mm-hmm.
And like in her bio, it's like, we may think that's why she has such an exceptionally large male fan base.
That's gross, man.
But she's not sexualized at all.
Yeah.
And they make her character like extremely foul-mouthed.
I like that. Yeah. Okay, well, cool. Maybe I'll check it out when I get a Vita, mm-hmm. which will probably be never. Because like I've set my magic dollar amount that I'll pay for a Vita is $75. Yeah. So.
Well, once I get done with Danganronpa 2 and Persona 3, then I want you to borrow it and just try. If you don't like them, cool. I just want you to at least try Danganronpa.
I'll try it.
So yeah, if you don't like it, fine. I get it. It's not everybody's cup of tea, but.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
And then I think 2 is very good. Same kind of formula, a lot darker. And then you're working with the Monokuma's other half who's trying to help. And Monokuma's like, where he's pretty fucking sadistic in the first one. He's extraordinarily sadistic in the second one.
Well, yeah, because he's made of hoses now.
Yeah. Yep. Hoses and like forks.
That's where all his bad tendencies come from. Garden eating utensils. I've been playing some other shit. I see the time over there.
I talked about Danganronpa for a long time.
We might as well go ahead and cut out what I talked about Smash Brothers and just call this one Danganronpa.
Call it Danganronpa.
Right. I know I mentioned this on a couple episodes back, but I've been playing the Diablo 3 expansion.
Mm.
I wanted to talk about this a little bit because early on in Tadpog, I feel like we kind of did a lot of shitting on Diablo 3, mm-hmm. especially when we were talking about Path of Exile. Mm-hmm. I've got good news. I'm coming back to report. They fixed a lot of things in that game because I hadn't touched Diablo 3 pretty much since you and I played it together, like back at release.
Two years ago?
It's been about, God, it's been longer than 2 years because I think we were playing that in July.
You were staying with me coming down from Lexington to buy your house.
Yeah. I hadn't played it really since we beat the game on 3 difficulties then. It's a lot better now. They have removed the auction house, like the real money and just the regular gold auction house. So that's not even in the equation anymore. And because of that, I guess it's because of that, the drops are awesome now, because in Diablo 3, the fucking drops didn't mean anything.
Nope.
Because it's I would constantly just get this gear that was just never going to wear that, never going to wear that. And it's it felt like everything was funneling you to go to the auction house and buy what you need and sell what you don't need, which was super annoying. Mm-hmm. So I started playing this, and then here's the thing, playing with you, I think maybe the three times I ran through the entire game, I found one legendary item. I found one, and it was worse than what I had on my character.
Yeah.
I had lower grade item that I was wearing that was so much better than this fucking legendary item. So it was not rewarding at all. None of the drops felt rewarding. They kind of have fixed that because I played through and I got to level 20 and I had already found 5 fucking legendary items. And it was all right, well, this is, and they were all better than what I had currently in slot. So, and I constantly felt like I was upgrading my equipment through things that I just looted. I mean, there's a lot of garbage still, but there are actual quality items now. Mm-hmm. It felt more like Diablo 2.
I had to craft in Diablo 3. I had to craft my own. I had to level my blacksmithing and my gem crafting, and then just click, 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 click. Okay, there's something acceptable.
Yeah.
Click, click, click. Ugh.
Well, even that crafting stuff is poop tier, you know, because it was that's the shit that you would craft to get the ability to go to the next difficulty level to try to find loot that you could sell on the auction house to buy the fucking gear that you needed. Mm-hmm. That whole runaround system was just
not my primary stat. God, can't use it. Gotta sell it.
Fucking soul crushing. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I haven't played a lot of the new actual content because they've added an act 5 that involves the content sounds really cool, but I haven't played any of it. It's you're fighting angels who are, for some reason, are attacking a town. And I think death is a villain or something like that. So he's got something to do with it. Okay. Maybe. But I've just been playing the new class, which is Crusader, which is essentially Paladin, which is what I really wanted in the release of Diablo 3. Cause my main in Diablo 2 was a Paladin. And it works just the same way, thorns and shit like that. I've got a build right now where you can equip a two-handed weapon in one hand and a shield in the other. So it's been fun. So far, I like it a lot. Still kind of no PvP, I guess. Now there's an NPC you can talk to in town. He's I can bring you to a battlefield if you want. And I guess if you're in a game with other people, you can fight there or something. I don't know. But it's not like the old school Diablo where it's you can just run into somebody and they fucking kill you.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
If Reaper of Souls dropped down to 10 bucks, I would pick it up and play again.
I bought it for 20. It was on sale for 50% off. It's one of those things where it's I had told myself that if it went on sale for $20, I'd buy it. And then it happened. So I bought it. Mm. And
do you still kind of
a little bit, yeah.
I told myself I'd do this a little bit.
It's I made myself a promise, and I'm not going to break that promise. Mm-hmm. I bought it, and I wasn't dissatisfied. I actually would probably, if I didn't have so much fucking work to do this weekend, I'd have been playing it. Yeah. I guarantee it. McElwain of Mega Man X3 2 fame. That's right. He powered leveled the shit out of me. That's the other thing that was just crazy. Cause it's I got to level 20 with the Crusader and he just sent me a message. He's you need any help? And I was I never power leveling is not a thing that I usually cause I like to play through the content of the game, but it's fucking Diablo 3 and I've already done it so many fucking times that I sent a message back. It's like, yeah, man, just however much time you got. He's like, okay, let's crank it up. He's like started a game that was Torment 6, which they changed the difficulty. Cause like when you and I were playing, like it was like easy, normal, hard, Inferno, that's gone. Like there's so many fucking difficulties now. Like Inferno mode is essentially like Torment, and there's like six tiers of Torment. Torment 6 being like the most difficult difficulty in the game. So like he started a game on Torment 6, and he was just like, his character, his monk is like just a badass that can just like run around, doesn't even have to like hit enemies to kill him, and I'm just like following him around. Like it took like 45 minutes and I was level 61. Like I gained 41 levels in the time it took. Like I didn't even, like I was listening to a podcast.
About level a minute, that's cool.
So yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
But you know, $10, that sounds, that'd be the promise I make to myself.
Yeah, $10.
Whether or not I keep it or not.
Yeah.
Because I'm not like you. I'll be like, yeah, I kind of think I want to go get a Snickers bar and a six-pack of Coke instead.
I want to get that $20 Snickers bar.
I got my eye on that deluxe model.
Yeah, the Snickers DX. it's a big Snickers cake.
I guess the other game, go over it briefly. I'm not going to talk about it like I talked about Danganronpa 1 and 2. Please,
let's do a four-hour podcast.
Because as soon as I posted a picture, I was like, at one point on Facebook, I was holding up Phoenix Wright versus Professor Layton and Danganronpa 2.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about if you'd picked up the new Phoenix Wright game.
Yep, I've got that. I just wanted to finish these Danganronpas first. And then, because I want to savor that Professor Layton and Phoenix Wright game. Because I know that's not going to come around again, so I want to take my time with that. Yeah. I'm not eager to jump on it. And then Lord Matt Barger sent me a message. Oh, you have a Vita. You got to play Persona 4 Golden.
Yeah, I remember you played a lot of Persona. Gotta.
So then like I started it, and it's a very different game from what I'm used to. It's still a JRPG, but it's a very different, like, it's an RPG cross high school simulator. Which doesn't sound fun. It doesn't sound fun. And I didn't like it at first.
You're collecting garden hoses and forks and making all kinds of bears.
because it's a remake, I think, of a PS2 game. I think that's what it was for. And they've done a very, very good job. But it's all about, there's like another mysterious world where these murders are taking place. And your character has the ability to go over there and try to stop them. Long story short. And you find other people that will help, will join you and cross over into this other world. And in this other world, they're basically, once you enter the world, somewhere in the world, basically everything that you hate about yourself will spawn. A you that is, you know, embodies everything that you don't want to admit about yourself and you just feel bad about. And if you confront that person, and normally, like, when somebody will cross over, you'll go and save them. And, like, one of the girls, you see her opposite is like incredibly like slutty and just is all about boys. But in the outside world, she's like very conservative. So she's like, now she sees that everybody sees this about her and she flips out and says, "You're not me." And that's when it gets power over her and transforms. And then you have to defeat it. And once you defeat it and whoever that character is accepts it, like, okay, well, you are a part of me. I do have those desires in myself. I have to learn. And that's when they then get power to operate in the Persona world.
Okay. And it's so all, like, they have to overcome this like internal conflict.
They have to overcome the internal conflict to gain power to that opposite them then transforms into basically a summon that they can control. And that's how you fight in the Persona world.
And is that what is called their persona?
Like, yep.
Okay.
That is
so
their
persona. That's where the title of the game comes from. Okay.
And then it's all about you've trying to, because basically whenever you save somebody, then they join your team. They get a persona and join your team. And then they're trying to find out who threw us in here, who is trying to kill these people. But your character has a unique ability that he gets stronger the more relationships he develops and the stronger he gets to other people. So that's when the high school sim comes in, because through the high school sim, you meet other characters who represent different monsters in the game. Because everyone only has one persona except the main character. The main character can have as many as he wants.
Where does he get them from? The other people?
He gets them from monsters. Basically, they will drop pieces of themselves, and he can pick them up and then mix and match and make new personas.
So, like, you craft your summons?
Mm-hmm. The main character does. He crafts them. And it's all based on the tarot card system. So each monster has a different class based on one of the tarot cards.
Okay.
And each NPC in the game represents a different tarot card. So the closer you get to the character that represents the tower card, any persona you make that is of the tower type is much stronger.
Okay. So like if you craft one, if you craft a summon or a persona that is tower, then you want to have a really good relationship with the NPC who's
who represents
correlates
tower.
With tower. Okay.
Because then you that then the persona you made will gain all sorts of levels and powers.
Okay.
So then half the game is inside the persona world, fighting traditional RPG elements, trying to figure out who the murderer is, and then outside world is relationships building up your power and things like that to affect the persona world.
That sounds pretty cool. That actually sounds more interesting to me than...
They just kind of put it in that high school sim kind of way. Because, like, you can join... You have the option of joining in a sports team. And the athletes represent the strength arcana. So then once you join either the basketball team or the soccer team, and you can go to practice on, like, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. You don't have to. You just can if you want to. So if you go to practice, like, two times, and you'll get a small event where... the strength arcana guy is like confiding something in you. And it's like, oh, now you guys are better friends. And you see the gauge go up. And then that means any strength arcana is now a next level stronger.
And you were saying to me off the mics a couple of weeks ago that like there's a lot of scheduling involved. Like you mentioning that you have to like go to practice.
Because
and
you have to go to school.
Uh-huh.
You have to have a relationship with the family that you're staying with. You can have multiple clubs that you're a part of and a part-time job. So then basically, and the job you can have during like right after school or at night. And there are tons of other students that like want to spend time with you and represent different arcana. So then you're kind of one. I hated it at first because I felt like I had to be at this place at this exact time. And I was trying to like write down schedules or trying to remember everything.
So you can miss this stuff.
You can. Yeah.
Like, I mean, if you're supposed to be at practice at like 5:30, like is it real time in game?
Because
like,
basically you can have like a daytime action and a nighttime action. Mm-hmm. Spending time with an NPC will take one of those actions. Very few things in the game don't take an action. So it depends. Like if you get a part-time job at the hospital, then if you go there at night, that takes your nighttime action to take the bus to the hospital to do like you're a janitor at the hospital part-time. But then when you go there, you gain money so you can then buy items and things like that.
And you can steal all the organs.
And steal all the organs. And then that's when you meet a nurse that then represents like the demon arcana.
Okay. So and you meet like possible like party members and shit, depending on what you do and your...
Only the people that you save from the persona world are party members.
Okay.
But anybody else that represents an arcana, even your party members represent arcana.
Uh-huh.
So like they're your fellow students. You can choose to spend the afternoon with them and make them stronger.
And like when you say arcana, like is that the association with the tarot card?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
So, and then there's still, because it's a high school sim, there's still the possibility to have a romantic relationship with every female in the game. And then you can choose, you know, which one you want to be in a relationship with, or you can date all of them. And there's no negative to dating everyone. Like, you can be in a relationship with every girl in the game.
Uh-huh.
And there's...
Like, how serious?
There's no, like... there sex is implied at, like, the highest level of relationship.
Like, do they just not care, or like you just don't tell?
You hide it. Apparently, your main character is a master at hiding relationships because, like, there are two girls that are best friends, and you can be dating both of them at the same time. And
maybe they're into that.
You see, every now and then there'll be like awkward scenes where they kind of suspect each other that they're dating one another,
but they're super sex positive, so they're into it.
So then it's just kind of there. It just, if you date more than one person, the game shames you a little bit.
Yeah.
Like the dialogue box, be like, but you're already dating somebody. Are you sure you want to date this person as well? Yes.
I like, so like all the boxes, just like your, it's just your Jiminy Cricket.
And then you have to kind of decide like during Christmas, if you're dating multiple people, you have to hurt somebody's feelings because you can only spend Christmas with one person.
Oh, I see.
So, and things like that.
I like how you presented it. Like, I hope the game is just like, who do you want to hurt this Christmas? It's just a big list of people.
But it's interesting trying to figure out like who the villain is and who the murderer is and trying to balance things out. And the story is very interesting. And also, like, you can't really forget. Like, you will always be reminded, like, you could go to this and this and this today. Okay. So it's like you can't really lose track. Anybody that wants to spend time with you will have like an exclamation point over their head.
That's cool.
So
that actually sounds like something I'd be interested in playing.
Yeah, it was fun.
I hear it's pretty dark. Is it dark? I hear that series, and I've never played any of those games. Mm-hmm. I've watched Lord Matt play, I think, Persona 1 on the, I guess that was on the PlayStation. But I know this series has like a reputation of being pretty dark compared to other RPGs.
It does in the fact that, like, you know, people in a real life setting in Japan mm-hmm. are being brutally murdered. And
pretty
like,
dark.
There's like, yeah, and like
they can't find the bear. This
is the family you stay with. Like the father figure of the house is a cop, mm-hmm. so he's also trying to constantly find. He's not a persona, so he can't catch this villain.
Gotcha.
So you see him deteriorate over time and get frustrated. And unless you like,
it's like Death Note.
Yeah, unless you get close to him, like his relationship with his daughter,
yeah.
can deteriorate. So then, like, you have to get close to the father and to the daughter because they both represent an arcana. So it's interesting.
Cool.
Even the villain is an arcana, so you can get strong. You can get closer to the villain,
but you don't know who the villain is.
You don't know who the villain is till the end. Okay. What one of the 28 or whatever arcana is the villain? You just have no idea which one.
Gotcha. It's definitely the
best. And I didn't come across the option in Persona 4 Golden, but I read in the original PS2 that you can decide to side with the villain and sell everyone else. Like, you've become close enough to this person, once you find out that they're the villain, you can instead sell everyone else out, join them, and get a special ending.
That's really cool. I like that. I hope that they didn't cut that from...
Yeah, I didn't get the option, but I might not have just been close enough to the villain. Yeah. Because, like, it's all about...
Well, you were too busy getting all those girlfriends.
That's true.
That tells me that the villain is definitely one of the guys.
Because you want to max out. There were some. They're basically only the girls that are in your party can you like have a relationship with.
Gotcha.
The NPC women outside, like you truly can't. But it's most important to
put them in the NPC zone.
Yes. But Persona 4 Golden also very, very good. Cool. If you don't get it in your head that you have to stress yourself out about time management, then it's good. It's really good. I'm going, as soon as 3 goes on sale on the PSN store, I'm going to buy it and play it. Because I know Persona Q is coming out for the 3DS, and that is all the characters from 3 and 4 in a new Persona game.
Yeah, I saw the announcement for that.
So I think that looks... I don't know why I'd rather play it on Vita,
yeah.
but I was excited because
I own a 3DS.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, I can play one of these games. And then it was like, but then immediately I was like, I know nothing about this series, so I'm not going to get it. Because it was like, I read about that. It's like, it's a combination of all the characters you love. And I'm like, nope. Not doing that.
Do you have any other games to talk about?
I do, man. But we're like, what, hour 20?
Yeah, pretty close.
I mean, I've been playing Baldur's Gate, the old PC game.
Yeah.
And that has been an exercise in remembering what PC gaming used to be like. That game is so ridiculously like...
Like the Inca kind of days? Like, is it?
No, because this game is a good game. Inca was just a bad, bad, bad game. Baldur's Gate's a really good game, but it's like one of those games where it's like, it is designed for you to just fail and fail and fail, fail and fail, and then like reload, because I'm sorry, I messed it up. Fail, reload, fail, reload, fail, reload, until things just happen to work out your way.
Until you happen to roll high enough on exactly. all your stuff.
Because it's like, I mean, it's in Forgotten Realms, and that's the main reason that I wanted to play it, because as you know, Tyler, I'm running the 5th edition mod, Horde of the Dragon Queen, with you and Josh of Uniracer's fame and John Turley of NBA James fame are all playing. And my biggest thing about that is I've been playing D&D with you for a long time. Mm-hmm. And most of our games have always been mainly homebrew.
Yeah.
So like all this is like sprung from our ridiculously ludicrous imagination. Mm-hmm.
Where it's, a little bit of all the games we've played growing up, yeah, just taking just, a little bit of elements just and just mashing together. Them together.
Yeah. So it's like, it's just like if you mix all the colors together, that's
God,
what it is.
my first D&D game was such a ripoff of like Final Fantasy VI. It was ridiculous.
Well, it's like, and it's funny because it's like, as we get older, I think like I cringe about some things because it's like, I look back at characters and it's like, oh man, that's some pretty, there was a really dorky decision.
Imagine if we'd like, and I didn't play till college. I can only imagine like if I'd played in like middle school, the kind of shit I would have made.
Dude, I played a little bit in middle school and it was just like, I was the guy who was always like, I want to play a monster, like always, just always. And everyone's just like, you can't fucking play a monster. You just can't put down the monster manual.
See, what's really funny is like you say that now, and then they, and D&D 3.0 came out with a book to play with the rules to play a monster.
Yeah.
And that's the book you hate the most.
I do. I hate it so much because, I mean, I don't know, like, I just feel like that's a little, I don't, maybe it's because that's something I wanted to do so much when I was younger that now I kind of look down on it because it's just like, come on, I know why I wanted to play the monster. It was because I couldn't come up with an original fucking character to play. So it's like, it's real easy. I'm just a bugbear, or I'm just an imp. And it's like, that's who I am. I don't have to like put any effort into it. Mm-hmm. It's just, I'm a monster character. Mm. So I think that's why I kind of look down on it. But anyway, so, like, the reason I wanted to play Baldur's Gate is because I'm running this D&D game, right? And it's like, I don't know much about Forgotten Realms.
It's a lot. Because
there's
there.
So much. Oh, there's man. Just so much Forgotten Realms lore.
Like, it's like a set of encyclopedia could oh, be yeah. written over the Forgotten Realms lore.
Absolutely. And then, like, because I'm running this game, it's making me do all these things that I normally wouldn't do. Like, go back and play Baldur's Gate. And, like, really, like, I feel like I'm kind of doing homework. Like, I'm still, like, enjoying the game. But it's like, because it's set in Forgotten Realms. It's set on the Sword Coast, where most of, like, pretty much everything in Forgotten Realms happens on the Sword Coast, it seems like.
Dritz is on the Sword Coast. Artemis and Treri, how all happens on the Sword Coast.
That's the other thing. All these R.A. Salvatore books that, like, I never wanted to read. Never. And I still really don't. I'm fucking reading one right now.
Nice.
And it's not nice.
I gave you the Icewind Dale trilogy. I know you did. Sat on your desk.
Just because I started it and I was like, I hate this. And I set it down. And then, like, I picked it up again. I was like, oh, my God. I set it back down. But now it's like I'm reading, I guess, the legend of Dritz, which I think is, like, the first book in the
of his
Dark
backstory?
Elf trilogy.
Okay.
And I really don't like him, but I'm reading it.
Because, I mean, you're not big on, like, traditional drow anyway.
Nope.
Because they're so
nope. It all
overdone.
Takes place in the fucking Underdark. And it's just, like, they are. It's just so, like... Oh, it's not my thing, but it's like I'm reading it because I'm dedicated to trying to make my fifth edition game better.
That's good,
and that's why I'm playing Baldur's Gate. But fortunately, Baldur's Gate's a lot more fun than the Dark Elf trilogy. It's just one of those games where it's like I remember when gaming used to be like this, where it was like not easy. It's just not easy. It's just pause, save, quick save. Have an encounter, die, reload. It really made me realize that games now want to tell a story, and games then just really wanted to punish you. Because it's like, I mean, it's so like the encounters, like I had a full party and I'm fighting three wolves. And it's like, here's the other thing is like,
all you need is Jacob.
Yeah, I know, right? But like if a party member dies, I reload. Because it's like, I don't want one of my, like, NPCs to die because I can't fucking find any more. It's not like a tabletop game where it's like, oh, well, that character died. Just roll a new one. It's no. It's like, oh, instead of having a full party, now you're down one person. So the next time you fight three wolves, guess what? You're going to be down another person. So it's just one of those. Mm. But it's a great game. It's one of those games I'd actually like to, like, talk about in length. That whole series, like the Baldur's Gate, Baldur's Gate 2, the Icewind Dale game. Neverwinter Nights and all that.
Well, since my character in your game is from Baldur's Gate, I should probably learn something about it. So
let's do it. I said, let's do it. You're rubbing your beard, Tyler.
Oh,
you want me to ask you about what kind of beard you give all these games?
It was just itchy this time. I guess we should probably wrap it up.
Yeah, I wanted to play some calls, but that ain't gonna happen.
We can play if there's any really good ones. James Livingston had called me like, "Did you get my call?"
Yeah, I did get your call, James. Let me see if I can find it because I've just got these start in order. I got, my birthday was recently and I got a really good gift from Tyler, Meg, Josh, and Nicole of, Designer of the Year sweatshirt. It was a hoodie and it's in, Comic Sans. So thank you guys. It's pretty good. I actually do have a photograph of it Me wearing it, I look pretty baller. Am I going to lie? It's an extra large or an XXL?
I think it's an extra large.
So I can really grow into this.
you can really fit into that.
Yeah, definitely. When I showed Nikki, she was like, why is it so big?
I didn't know. Like, I thought extra large, like, everyone likes hoodies to be a little bit bigger. You know, like a tight hoodie.
It looks
so like, I'll give him an extra large. Man, those were big.
I can wear leggings. It's like a tunic. Let's see. You might have to edit this out if it's not, it doesn't happen to be James, but I think it's James's call.
Okay.
Hello, F and Tadpog. This is James Livingston giving you guys a call. I've been a lifelong fan, not of the show, of you guys.
Hate the show.
Lifelong. Even before I met you, I was a fan. I knew it. I could tell when I finally met you. But the show is good, too, and I like it a lot. And I just wanted to congratulate you on great success, and also throw in there that I know that it is Dave, your bespectacles. Oh, my God. Your bespectacles.
He fits right in with the show.
That's crazy. Anyway, Dave, happy birthday. That's all I'm trying to say.
Thanks, James.
Happy birthday to you. You were in our thoughts and our prayers, sending you mad love. Thanks for letting me crash in to your D&D session the other week.
You're welcome.
It was fantastic. It revived the soul, as they might say. And my wife and I were just talking some Cowboy Bebop and some apparently awesome references that they put in there. For example, some guy that used to do telephone hacking back in like the 80s simply by mimicking the sounds through a Captain Crunch whistle. They called him Captain Crunch. They mentioned him in Cowboy Bebop as Captain Crunch. We only figured this out, and then, of course, it made us think of Ayn, and, of course, that brings us to you. So, and, of course, Tyler, as long as you have not kissed any other person except for me so far as, well, you know, a male touching, then good.
I have to explain that.
Yeah, you really do.
Distance doesn't make a difference. You guys are, like, right here. You're right in my heart. And, yeah, whatever. Okay, so there's love, there's peace, there's respect, and keep it real, yo. All right. And wait, there's another word. It's represent. Represent.
That's James. He's keeping it 100.
Thank you, James.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. What is he talking about? Did also, you kiss James at some point?
I think he got his lines, some lines a little mixed, like, because he meant Cowboy Bebop, but he also meant Ready Player One.
With Captain Crunch?
Yeah.
Okay. When I listened to that, yeah, I was wondering, because I don't remember a Captain Crunch reference in Bebop.
So I think he's probably listening to the book and watching the anime at the same time. So I think he got some lines crossed there. But he's talking about at the end of seminary, to celebrate everyone in graduating seminary, we all went on a cruise together. And like the last day of the cruise, I stood up and I made like a big speech to everybody talking about it and how much I loved everybody and how much everybody meant to me and these friendships. And even though we're all traveling to different places, you know, we all made lifelong friendships while we're here, all that. And at the end of my speech, James stands up, walks over to the other end of the table and like opens his arms to hug me. And when I go to hug him, he instead grabs my face and kisses me for like 15 seconds.
How long do you think you were like one Mississippi? To Mississippi.
Because here's the thing, like, I'd always made jokes about kissing Oathbreaker Blake Woods because it makes him really uncomfortable.
Well, that's great news like, for
he's
everybody.
Like, he's like, man, I love you, but man, if you ever tried to kiss me, I would knock you the fuck out. So I always joked about it. And so total, James is the one.
Total homophobe, Blake Woods.
extremely homophobic. Go to his church. No, if you're not, if you're gay, don't go to church.
Yeah, thanks. Did not go the direction I thought it was going to go. It's really interesting. Let's see. I got another call here, maybe. It says unable to transcribe this message. There was one that I wanted to play that was also had to do with my birthday. So I figured it's probably timely to play it.
Let's do it.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Devon. Happy birthday to you.
Yes.
Happy birthday, Dave Moore. This is Wiley and Laura and Jordan and Jack playing shitty John Elway football on the NES.
This is
Yeah, wait,
this is John Elway. Yeah, well, that too. It looks terrible and sounds awful, but it's super fun.
Hey, you're fun. John Elway football.
Come on, come on. Drink a little bit.
Happy birthday, Dave Moore.
Thanks, guys.
What do you mean that couldn't be transcribed?
Google Translate was just like, shrug. Actually, there's an emoticon. Like my grandmother?
I'm an emoticon. I'm your respectable emoticon.
There's actually just an image of a table being flipped. Google just fucking gave up. Thanks, guys. I really do appreciate it. Sounds like you were having a lot of fun, even though it sounds like I would not enjoy the game that you're playing. What I love the best about that is that was Laura, correspondent Laura. Mm-hmm. When she said, "This is," she went, "This is Wiley and Laura." And I was thinking, no, I don't think this is Wiley.
No, Wiley is actually Laura's symbiote.
Oh, okay.
Like Wiley can graft onto Laura like Venom.
But thanks, guys. I really do appreciate it. And I also want to thank Paul Kluel of What's Paul Playing Today, because he got me Octodad on Steam, which is a game that's been on my wish list for a long time. And I actually really, really, really want to do another Ship Monday for it, because I think, like, if you and I played it and Josh and Nicole played it, did the four-player co-op, because it's one of those games that I think is going to drive Nicole nuts, because, like, we have to, like... Like, here's like the premise of the game is that we're an octopus dad and each one of us controls like one tentacle, and we have to do like just like daily tasks. And in order to do that, we have to like come up with a plan and like coordinate like all our tentacles to do like one thing.
Man.
We're not going to be able to do it.
Yeah.
And Nicole is just going to be like absolutely livid.
So we want to do like a Danganronpa situation. like you're Monokuma, yeah. You're trying to give a motive for some murder. Instead of you playing, put Sean Miller in that thing.
Uh-huh.
And Nicole will eventually murder Sean Miller. There's no doubt in my mind she would eventually kill him.
I'll sit out. You could do the show with Miller.
No, you could just dress as a bear costume and you just watch this unfold.
Well, you know, I do have one ready. I bought a whole bunch of garden hoses and forks.
It is your fursona, if you're a furry.
My fursona?
That's what I believe Tony, whose birthday was this the other day. So, Impresario,
hey,
Tony.
Happy birthday, Tony.
And your birthday is the same day as Kyle Searles of Zombies Are Neighbor Fame. So happy birthday, Kyle. He's not listening, but happy birthday, Kyle. And I want to run down. It's been a long time since we've thanked some people, so I want to go down. I don't think we've thanked them all, but I want to run down 5-star reviews real quick.
Yeah, let's do it.
So I want to thank Bloodhowl, Beeflog 1266. I guess go ahead and say ANAPS again for Inca.
Thanks.
Gus the Polar Bear, who requests Mario Sunshine, Sir Kyle M, Duchess of Dennis, Massacre, which he recommends Global Gladiators, Czech Cowboy would like us to play Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic.
Oh, I want to play that too. It's been a long time since I played that game.
I've never played it. I've heard so much about it.
That's a fun game. I think you might actually like it.
Felix da Cat would like us to do Beyond Oasis. Guy Morale would like us to do a board game, preferably with Wiley.
Yeah, Wiley be great to have on that.
Cart S Guy would like us to do Smite.
Also heard good things about that game. Haven't played it.
Let's see. Brandon in Madisonville gave us a 5-star review, and I was amused by Swizzletick gave us a 5-star review simply stating 3 stars.
I get that guy. I like that guy's humor. I mean, it's probably not humor, but I'm just going to go ahead and take it as humor.
So thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes or Stitcher. Our next game should be Secret of Mana.
Oh, God.
Try to crank that out. So we're probably going to break it into two parts. In the next 2 weeks will be Secret of Mana. Next Monday, hopefully, we'll return for Ready Player One series. So that's all tentative. We'll have a show. We promise we'll have a show for you.
No, please don't promise that.
But we like 5-star reviews. We have up to 80 now. It's awesome. But we're jealous. We want more. We just hoard them. We just want to cram the 5-star reviews in our mouth and chomp on them. Well, I guess we're covetous. We want all the 5-star reviews.
We're the Red Dragons of podcasting.
We're smog, and we're just like hoarding those. And eventually until our belly is coated with 5-star reviews and then makes us vulnerable.
We're the 5-star bellied sneeches.
See, we're going to have so many 5-star reviews whenever somebody has that one black arrow of a 1-star review, and then it's just going to kill us. That's just it.
And let's not talk about that. Like that 1-star review will be the death of the podcast. It really, like, that's going to be like, you and I are going to have a breakdown. We're going to sit down and be like, is this even worth doing anymore? Like, that sounds like a joke.
We got to change the podcast.
We assure you that is not a joke.
It's got to be about beer now. I don't drink beer, but we get that 1-star, what, one,
God, it's going to be awful. Review.
Like, I don't like video games. 1-star.
God, I dread that 1-star review. Like I dread the death of a parent. Like, because it's like that is gonna happen, and it is gonna change our fucking worlds. Like, because I know us, and I know your reaction is gonna be like, we gotta do 5 podcasts a week.
We gotta quit our jobs. Right. I gotta get kidnapped for adoption. We gotta do 5 shows a week.
Trust me, and if you're listening and you're like, that would be awesome, you're fucking wrong. That would not be awesome.
That's I'm just going to talk about Danganronpa 5 days a week for 2 years. But if you want to keep us like reasonably happy and not suicidal or changing everything, give us a 5-star review. Uh-huh. Further incentivize that by you can choose some of the content of the show.
Right.
So if there's a game you want us to play, put it in there. Mm-hmm. If there's a guest host you want on a show, put it in there.
Yeah.
If you want us to be your emergency contact, it's unwise, but you can do that. Mm-hmm. If you want us to be an alibi that will probably only get us all thrown in for contempt of court, whatever.
You want us to do your taxes.
You want us to do your taxes. You want to go to jail.
You want to owe the government a lot of money.
But include that in your 5-star review, and we will try our best to do. I mean, if it's a game or a host, we'll get to it. Anything else, we'll try. But the game and the host, we will get to that. Eventually.
Unless we get a 1-star review before then and we all just implode.
And this is the last episode.
This was the end. Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we're probably going to be back. We're going to be watching iTunes like a hawk. In the meantime, if you can't get enough Tadpog goodness, you can always find us on tadpog.com. That's where the show notes live. You can also find us on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/tadpog. There are a lot of cool people there doing a lot of cool shit. We do a post per episode, and that's the best way to really give us feedback. Like your honest feedback. Give us like your non-honest feedback on iTunes reviews and keep those 5 stars. But if you got a bitch about something, definitely do it on Facebook. Because we deal with criticism a lot better when it's not quantified. We deal with criticism better in non-star format. You can also find us on Twitter. We are at @tadpog_podcast. It's cumbersome, I realize, but just bear with us. That was a Danganronpa joke. Am I pronouncing that right? I don't know.
Danganronpa.
What?
Danganronpa.
Danganronpa. It just sounds dirty.
It is a little bit.
If you want to be a pretend like you're a bear, Twitter's a great place to do it. Sometimes I do that. I've got a secondary account where I just pretend I'm in my fursona and I do all kinds of crazy hookups. Thanks for everybody who's retweeting us and including us in your tweets. You can call us if you want. I completely lost my train of thought because I was just thinking about the hot like Twitter furry action. I was literally like, as I was talking, like I was slowing down because I was thinking, like the realization was setting in. I was like, people probably actually do that. Like they probably role play.
As Heathcliff's girlfriend. Is that a thing?
Heathcliff did have a girl. That is weird. I hadn't thought about that in a long time.
You're welcome.
My knowledge of Heathcliff right now is just like him holding the top of a trash can lid with a fishbone on it. And now all of a sudden you drag his girlfriend back into my life.
I was clean. God.
If you want to call us, you can. Please do. It's 270-883-2555. Try to keep it under 3 minutes if you can. We do love questions, particularly video game questions and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle questions. We haven't gotten one of those in a long time. If you want to like kick
or it, Golden Girls questions.
I was about to say, if you want to kick it old school, you can bring in some Golden Girls.
Or if you kissed me, you can call in and talk about it.
If you've kissed Tyler, definitely call in for more than 15 seconds. Have you ever kissed Meg for longer than 15 seconds?
Nope, absolutely not. We're Puritans. I'm going to go inside and put on my buckle hat. It's fine.
Put your condom on your balls.
My protective latex ball hammock.
That's all I got, man.
Well, thanks, everybody. And until, well, our theme song.
It's Moves by Sycamore Drive. Mm-hmm. A link to that track can be found in the show notes at tadpog.com.
So until next time, Josh Royce.
Josh Royce.
Tropical Capricorn. That was like the most satisfied Josh. Right? It's like I'm very proud of himself, Josh.
Like he just beat Octodad. The most valuable thing my dad has ever taught me is that all pornography is fake.